Let us pray. Holy and most righteous God, I ask now, God, that you send your Spirit that it might sanctify me, prepare me for use in your kingdom. Your people have come tonight, Lord. Speak to their hearts. Speak to their mind. Bring them peace. Bring them joy because of your word. We thank you now. In Jesus' name, amen. First of all, I want to say thank you for allowing me to come back again. Those of you who was here last time know I kind of lost track of time. I blame it on Rick. We went over just a little bit. So I'll try to make it up to you by cutting it short. Amen, amen. But truly, I am grateful and very, very happy and honored to have this opportunity tonight. We will talk to you tonight, and in the midst of a wonderful prayer, we're going to talk about praying time. It's praying time. First, I might ask the question, what is prayer? Man, we're going to get there, talk about it later. But right now, I would just like to read a couple of quotes that I read in a book beginning by Andy Langford and Mark Rawls. John Calvin says, prayer is expanding our heart in the presence of God. You hear that? Prayer is expanding our heart in the presence of God. John Killian said, prayer is communion with God. It's a matter of making connections with the one who stands at the center of our life and joy, and to learn how to live there all the time. Sorry, kill God. Said, prayer does not change God, but it changes whoever prays. James Marlowe, the point of prayer is not to tell God what we want, but to receive what we need. This is important to understand in our culture that caters to everyone. Prayer is not about me, it's about God. Amen. It's not about us, it's about God. I was truly moved, I guess, on Sunday when Catherine said that she would be here. It's Tuesday at 5 p.m. For what I will pray. And she asked that we could come and join her. I did. And while I was here, the thought came to me from St. Matthew. The evening Jesus went out into the Garden of Gethsemane. And as he was preparing to go to pray, he asked for Peter, James, and John to come and go with him. He went off to pray, and he came back and he found them asleep. He said, couldn't you just pray with me 1 hour? And really, this ball of because Jesus was know, Pastor Carey, being a pastor myself, I'm sure she would like to have us come just watch with her for 1 hour. We're going to talk about praying time. I will text today if you print here 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 12 through 14. It says, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place for myself, a house of sacrifice. If I shall tell him that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and will heal the land." The setting for this text is Solomon had finished the temple of God. And now God was there to dedicate. Solomon prayed, and then a cloud filled the temple. Then Solomon had all the musicians and everybody got together and began to just praise God. Give God the glory. But Solomon, knowing how people are and what they're going through, he made a prayer to God. He asked God, he said, "Lord, if my people, when they have sinned against you, will look toward this place and pray, would you hear from heaven and answer their prayer?" So now what we have in our text is God answering Solomon. He let him know. He said, "Now, if I said, remember, if I allow some things to happen to me." You see, here's the thing about God. God wouldn't cause these things, but as we do, we go out and we break God's law, we disobey God, and then the circumstances or the consequences of what we have done, we must suffer. If we go out and we break the law, like I have done on occasion speeding along the highway, I broke the law. I may have had good intentions, but I still had to pay that $200-something speeding ticket. So there are things that happen in our lives. Sometimes we're praying and we are asking God for some things, but the things that we are asking for are not in God's will for us in that time, because our life is not in the right situation. And I will come in a little bit. All right, Pastor, I'm going to pray for you again. Amen. So he told him, he said, "Now, if my people, which are called by my name," these are my people, "if they would just humble themselves and pray, if they would just realize that I am the one that they depend on." I think in the song that they were singing earlier, is here we are, depending on God for everything. Sometimes we think that we got it ourselves, but when we realize that it's God that has all power, it's God that is in charge of all creation, then when we pray my people, if you are called a Christian today, if you are a Christian today, then you are one of God's people. If you have repented of your sin and accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you love Him with all your heart, then you are a child of the living God. Saying that my people will call out will humble themselves and pray. And that's what we talked about earlier in this thing when I read about Killinger. What he was talking about, he said his prayer is communion with God. We talked about having that fellowship with God. We're talking about how we spend time, like be it 1 hour, 2 hours, but you spend that time just you and God. You spend that time knowing that God is present in the room with you right now. See, I don't know about you, but I've gone in with me when I came. The Spirit of God is inside each and every one of us. And that's one of the things too. Well, you have to come back to a Bible study to get the rest of that prayer thing. I'm going to teach you Bible study and all, so not tell you. But anyway, the part that really get me all stirred up is when I do the Lord's Prayer. It says, "Our Father," and I stop. My Father. This is my Father. I had an earthly Father. But one day I met Jesus along the way. And He introduced me to His Father, which is God Almighty up in heaven. Now when I say our Father, I'm talking about the Creator of this world. One who loved me just like my earthly Father. One who cared about me just like my earthly Father. But He's blessed to have more power than my earthly Father. How do I name that? Oh, Lord, I must.
Rick, I'm going to stop because I'm getting the album.
Hallowed be thy name. Lord, I'm going to make your name holy. Lord, your name is special. Hallowed is your name. Now here I am, your child, and your spirit, your presence is on the inside of me. I must honor your name. I can't just say anything. Just was leaving a hospital or visiting someone, and
the lady looked at her, my name came from Trinity, and she said, "You a rebel?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "I want to tell you about a miracle." Stop. Took my time to listen. She was telling me about how God had worked in the life of her family member this day. And she was giving honor and praise, and she wasn't shy about it. She said, "God did it for me. Doctor said this." She said, "But God did it." That's what we know. That's what we can really experience. Experience the presence of God in prayer. When you take time to pray, you pray sincerely, you can experience the presence of God in prayer. Now, there's some key things to prayer. One key thing with prayer is that you must believe God is going to do what you ask him to do. All right? It's a thing called faith. You trust God. If you ask in God's will, God will answer. God will answer, I believe, all prayers. But the real problem with us in prayer is a little thing called waiting.
Thanks. No time to take time out there to sit and say, look, I'm going to close it now. And I'm going to close with a prayer.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.